T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I've been to Cicero's, to Pops, the pageant, to Point Fest, but nothing is like Mississippi night. No, nothing is like.
Welcome back, guys. DJ S on KMOX 306. So we're going to spend about the next hour talking about Mississippi Nights. We will take your phone calls. Everybody out there who's my age, plus or minus 15 years, has memories and stories about Mississippi Nights. 314-436-7900. Toll free from anywhere, 800-925-1120. We have Garrett and Stacy, who have written the book, literally, on Mississippi
Hello.
Nights. We have Andy, who is the book on Mississippi Nights, who ran it 2 different times and knows all the dirt on everybody. Evidently, you know each other from the old days, Trish?
Yeah, because when I started at the Point, which would have been in about 97, 98-ish, I mean, I spent the first year down there hanging up banners on the side of the wall.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was just telling him, I just remember my shoes sticking to the floor because of all the drinks that were spilled. There was that upper level where you could walk up 1 or 2 steps right in the middle, remember, and watch the shows. It was fun.
Yeah. I love Trish. On the break, she's like, I just remember my shoes sticking, and I was so drunk all the time. I'm surprised I remember anything. I'm like, hey, Trish Gazelle, everybody.
Well, I was in my 20s, and, you know, I was feeling myself and having fun. Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here, guys. I really appreciate it. So let's start with you, Garrett and Stacy, and just give us, especially for the people out there who are like, I've never been to Mississippi Nights, just kind of the history, like from the beginning through kind of like when it became Mississippi Nights.
Well, it became Mississippi Nights in 1976. It closed in 2007. Do you want me to tell you the name of the book and stuff?
Yeah, everything.
The name of the book is going to be Mississippi Nights, the Music Club in St. Louis. It's currently being edited by Greg Kessler. He used to be in Snake Ranch, the punk rock band. It's also being edited by Angela Sebin. The book just kind of fell into our laps, and we've been working on it for almost 3 years now.
Cool. So, Andy, you were there in 84, right?
Correct.
Get right up there.
From 81 to 85 and 94 to 98.
So prior to you, was it a big deal? Was Mississippi Nights a big deal in like the late 70s?
You know, I had heard about it on
the
radio.
Right up in the mic.
I was, you know, heard about it on the radio and
stuff. I'm
going to
regret saying that, I know, because I met Andy.
I didn't go down there a whole lot. At that time, I was working on towboats, was gone quite a bit, working up and down the river.
Of course you were.
it was more of a country bar back then, although they were doing concerts and things because AC/DC played there and Wynn Garrett.
I think it was a big deal before. I mean, it was a country bar, but in the 70s, it was a big deal. When it became a country bar, it got kind of confusing and then went back to rock and roll. But even when it was a country bar, go-go's came through there stuff. So, and the Police were there.
Yeah.
So
and the Police played to like 18 people or something like
25
that?
25 people. They opened for St. Louis Sheiks or later on the Geyer Street Sheiks.
Yeah.
And evidently Sting was out front trying to hawk people in. And
wow.
We spoke to the singer of the Sheiks and we have the entire story about the Police opening for the Sheiks. It's really great.
Tell me about it. Just tell me the story.
Go ahead. Do you want to? This is Stacy, by the way.
Hi. During the show, during the Sheiks show, the
police sat on a little section where the singer used to like to come out and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Sting was so excited about
the Sheiks,
that he started grabbing his legs. And Michael was afraid he was going to fall over. So he was trying to struggle free, and he kicks Sting in the face.
He accidentally kicks Sting in the neck. And then, like, 4 or 5 years later, they got together on Saturday Night Live, and Sting's like, "Why did you kick me in the neck?" So this whole story is in the book, and I don't want to give away all the details.
But sure, someone else will write it.
It's great. You know? And the AC/DC story, there was a little fight after the show, and we managed to track down somebody who saw the fight. And we got that whole story in there too.
That's cool.
That was 1977.
That was 1977. Yep.
So my memory of Mississippi Nights is you would get acts that would later become gigantic that would play the arena early on, and then you would get great acts that were in their prime, like that would come in and play it just because they wanted to play Mississippi Nights.
Yeah. We had Huey Lewis come through, and just sold out immediately
in his heyday.
Yes.
Yeah. So when he was
he went under an AKA, though. They call them Sports Page.
He was there in the 80s.
Second time he was there.
The second time.
Yeah. He went back to all the clubs that did him on his first tour as Huey Lewis in the News, and then came back as a Sports Page and did a show years later.
And then I got a friend who took a picture of that second show, so I got that photo. It's like throw everything around St. Louis and find it, and that's what I did.
Very cool.
Everybody's got photos, and
so would Huey just do that because he loved the building, because he loved the club?
Yeah, it had such a reputation. And what was cool also is when the big shows were coming to the arena or Kiel or whatever, a lot of the bands, 38 Special showed up down there one night. The next night they're at Kiel, but several of the guys had played at Mississippi Nights in very different bands on their way up and everything.
Yeah.
And so you'd have all these people remember it being so cool that they come back, down and check it out and everything.
Sometimes the bands would just show up at Mississippi Nights because that was the place to party. So I know Queen showed up. This one guy, what was that, like 1978?
I think so.
He was hanging out. He got a lead that Queen was at the club. So he went down there, and there they were, 2 o'clock in the morning coming outside. And he's like, "I got grounded for 2 months because of that."
Hey.
That was 40 years ago.
Good deal. Yeah,
totally
good deal.
He's still complaining about getting grounded.
Mississippi Nights was cool in the way that you can only be cool because you're not trying. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Like
uh-huh.
So many places have tried to be Mississippi Nights. But once you start trying, you lose the thread and you can't do it.
Well, I used to call the Galaxy the poor man's Mississippi Nights. I'm sure you went to the Galaxy and the other world and all that kind of stuff. But Mississippi Nights, it had some class to it. So, like, when we went to 367 or Pops, we know we could get away with things. But at Mississippi Nights, I got to behave myself tonight. Okay, I got it.
Man, people just don't. I know I sound a million years old, but being a musician that has played in St. Louis a lot, you don't. Kids, you don't realize how cool from mid-70s to mid-90s were, like on the Landing and even the West End. Like you could walk up and down the Landing and see a half a dozen great bands right next to each other, original bands, and it was unbelievable.
That's something I made sure to add in the book. I remember in 1995, I had like $27 and I managed to go to like 6 clubs that night, and that's something you can't do. And then I think that Halloween I decided, oh, hey, let's go to the Landing. It's Halloween. That was a mistake because it was so crowded. But we really don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
The Grove tried to have that, I think.
Yeah.
But since COVID, I think most of those clubs in the Grove have shut down.
And
too.
I don't know exactly when it happened. But, like with my buddies and Joe Dirt and El Monstero and Super Jam, like they, Trixie Delight, these are the big bands now, God love them, and the most popular bands who play covers. Back then, you didn't go see a cover band. You went to see an original band.
Oh, gosh, The Urge and New World Spirit.
Yeah, Pale Divine,
a little bit. Yeah, for sure. They were a lot of local bands. I mean, almost every weekend there'd be a local showcase or something?
Unless we had a national act playing there. We had Big Fun as our house band, Ferrari before that. When I first started in the early 80s, we had Aero Memphis playing there, who had a couple of albums out and got a little airplay on WYL or one of the country stations.
One you forgot was Fragile.
Fragile Porcelain Mice.
Yeah, they're seeing them all the time.
We're going to take a quick break here and come back. Andy has some great stories. I don't know how many you can tell, but of just like who was cool, who was difficult, who was a diva, who was this, who was that. So if you grew up here in St. Louis like I did and you have a memory about Mississippi Nights or something you want to share, maybe you'll get your story in the book. They're still in the process of editing it. Give us a call at 314-7900-800-925-1120. Welcome back, guys. DJ is going to do another segment here with Garrett and Stacy and Andy talking about Mississippi Nights. If you have any memories, you can call and let us know, 436-7900. So let's hear some stories about artists, however far you can go, Andy, as far as who was nice, who was cool, who was not so cool.
You know, most of the artists that came through were pretty down to earth. Like I said, a lot of them had history with the club and different various types of bands and things. And a lot of the different managers you'd deal with that would come back through all the time. Oh, you know, we had Stephen Stills one time that walked in. This is back in the earlier 80s before the club expanded. And he just got in the front door and said, I won't play here, and pretty much turned around and walked away. And interesting, years later, when I was GM out the Westport Playhouse, we had Stephen Stills. And I'd already gotten a call from, Rich Frame, the owner, saying, Andy, you know, he's going to be served with papers tonight for, we got a lawsuit coming against him for not refusing to play. And so we're trying to get the show going on out the Westport Playhouse, and, he's just not coming out because the process server's standing right outside his dressing room door and everything. And after about an hour, his manager and I were able to convince him, you're going to get served regardless how long you stay in there. And then we finally got the show going and everything.
That's funny. But, so if you're at that show and you're wondering why it was cut off for an hour.
It was sold out, why. I think.
Yeah. So
You said Whitney Houston was a little scattered?
Whitney was very difficult to work with. And working with her later in my career, she canceled about half the tour with us. I know Bobby Brown had written a book about her being a bisexual and things. And she would bring her... and. Whatever you're into, my only concern is people getting on stage and doing their job, going on, putting a show for the people, bought the tickets and everything. But she would get in these knockdown drag-out fights with her friends and be either too upset or too beat up to go on stage.
Wow.
And the people come to see Whitney, they probably go to one concert a year. They're buying new clothes. They're going to dinner. They're spending a lot of money. And it was just frustrating for an artist to have their, temper tantrums and, cancel the show. And we had to have a case of Dom Perignon champagne at every show. And even when she canceled it, her bodyguards would come to pick up the champagne.
Wow. That's frustrating.
But, you'd have your favorites come through, like down at Mississippi Nice. I remember Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And unfortunately, down there, they didn't sell very well. I worked with them again later at other venues that they just did fantastic. But my first show I ever went to growing up in 1970 or 71 was Street Dog Night. I went to the church group next door to my house.
Huh, cool.
The very first show I worked at Mississippi Nights in 1981 was Street Dog Night. And worked, a ton of shows with those guys and built a relationship with them. So a lot of times it got to be with working old friends. And I know what I push for when we be doing the catering for the bands and things is I insisted they got served on real plates and real silverware. They eat off paper plates and plasticware for months at a time. I want it to be a little more like coming home. They knew, what they're going to get treated like when they came in. When Pat Hagen and I talked about hiring Pat Lacey to come in and take over the office for us, what a godsend she was. And just another one of that, people really got to feel that they knew how they'd be treated when they walked in the door there.
Yeah.
And they look forward to it. And another unique thing about Mississippi Nights, and I'm sorry I got away from your question about stories about bands, is all the different types of music that you could work with. It was such an education that one might be rap, and the next night we'd be country. And it was just such an education, appreciating all the different types of music that would come through. And so I felt very fortunate with that, as well as other theaters I went to manage, too, that you get to experience. And one of my favorite stories, I know will be in the book. In December of 83, I had a show that was in the toilet, sold 53 tickets. And now what was cool about Mississippi Night, to segue for a minute, we had never canceled show because of ticket sales. It didn't matter. We wanted them to get the chance to get on stage and play and do it and see what would happen. So they would get to play. There might not be anybody in there. But in December of 83, a show sold 53 tickets. So about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm doing paperwork, and this kid from Austin, Texas comes out. does a sound check. It was Stevie Ray Vaughan. And then right after that, it exploded. Whoa. And, you know, and it just...
Lucky
it was,
53 people.
Yeah, wow. And they're all guitar players. So, yeah. You know, I knew all the guitar players are coming to see the show.
I think the final total was there was 80 people there. 70 of them were guitar players at that Stevie Ray Vaughan show.
That's crazy.
There's a great story, Rach, that if you ever see Stevie Ray at Montreux, the first one, and he's basically booed off the stage. It's a jazz concert. And he's booed off the stage. And he goes back in his dressing room, and he's literally sitting crisscross applesauce bawling. Mm. And Mick Jagger and David Bowie come back and said, that's the most amazing thing we've ever seen. And then he ended up doing Bowie's album and working with Jagger.
Wow.
And
that's how he got his break.
But if you watch that concert, he kills it. And it's like...
They just didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
If people don't understand, if they hear the Let's Dance song, that's Stevie Ray Vaughan on guitar. So my mom didn't know that. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That whole Bowie album is Stevie Ray Vaughan on guitar. And I have a story.
Yeah, shoot.
Back in 1996, me and my ex went to see Slayer, of course. All of my stories are Slayer. But we would go behind the building to meet the band. So I ran into my friend, and we're chit-chatting, and he's drinking, and I'm not. And his other friends show up, and all these guys got bricks in their hands. This isn't going to be in the book, by the way. They all got bricks in their hands, and they're all excited. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, well, we went up to Wisconsin when they tore down Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment, and we grabbed all these bricks, and we want to give some of them to Slayer. And I'm going, oh, okay. So, you know, a couple of guys from Slayer do come out, and they autograph the bricks, and they're all excited about handing the bricks to the band. And even in the photo that I took, you can see the guy holding up the brick, all excited and stuff, you know.
That's really cool. Yeah.
So later on, so I'm talking to my friend who's drinking, and he's getting too stupid, so I'm going to go get in line, you know. Yeah, see ya, dude. So I went to the show, and then after the show, I went back behind the building. Let's see how much we can aggravate Slayer in one day. We'll keep bothering them. So I go behind the building, and there's my friend. And I'm like, yeah, that show was great, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Mississippi Nights wouldn't let me in because I was too drunk. I'm like, I just looked at my ex. I'm like, that sucks, dude. See ya, you know.
That's when you know you're too drunk.
Oh,
when Mississippi Nights won't let you in because you're too drunk.
He's trying to like, well, I sold the ticket, so I made money. I got to hear the show behind the building, so I actually got to hear it. I'm like, all right, yeah, sure, yeah, all right.
And I got a Jeffrey Dahmer brick.
I don't know.
When do you think the book's going to come out, and how will people get the book?
We're looking at a fall release. We're not sure exactly when because we're self-publishing, and this is the first book we've ever written. Mm-hmm. So, if you go to MississippiNights.com, you can get on our mailing list or buy a T-shirt, Mississippi Nights T-shirt. And we'll send out newsletters and let you know. We're planning on having some pre-orders in the not-too-distant future.
So. Yeah.
And we're going to have a lot of events when the book comes out. We got the History Museum lined up, and we got the City Museum, and we got radio stations, and we'll Post-Dispatch. So
do an Urge concert.
I have something else in mind, but it's kind of top secret.
Okay, good,
but
good.
You're on the right track there. And Fragile love us, so we can do whatever with them, and, you know, yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Andy, come back anytime. Your stories are great. I love it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 335. Headlines, Rach.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. You can round up at the register or donate your Schnucks rewards points to support Folds of Honor this summer. The CEO of Levi's says that the number of people who need a new size in jeans is absolutely staggering. Apparently, 25% of buyers need either a bigger or a smaller jean size after the pandemic.
Hmm.
So a couple weeks ago, Tony did a news story about how, you know, Levi's came out and said, we're in a new jean cycle. People aren't going to be buying skinny jeans anymore. It's back to straight leg and wide leg jeans. So while people are looking for those new styles, they're discovering that their old jeans don't fit properly.
Question.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm not much of a fashion guy, but I understand a little bit about it. Now skinny jeans are out. You look old if you're wearing skinny jeans.
I have them on right now.
You don't really. That's just like the... skinny jeans are classic, but a lot of like Gen Z, they don't wear skinny jeans anymore.
My question was to you ladies, do you think that it's just someone in Vogue says it and you have to follow it because you look dumb? Or do you think that people really go like, these are really dumb?
No, I think that it's... Skinny jeans look good on a lot of people, but all they've been manufacturing for the past 10 or 15 years has been skinny jeans. So sometimes you get a pair of skinny jeans that actually aren't that flattering. They're more of like a jegging and they're like skin tight. See, I like the more wide leg. I wear both. I still have skinny jeans that I'll wear, but then I have like more of like mom style jeans. I just like the way that those look and fit. But I don't judge anyone who, like, looks good in skinny jeans and that's what they prefer
like you,
to wear. That's
you look great.
No, I think in answer to your question, I absolutely think it's someone deciding because stuff comes back all the time.
Yeah.
You know, bell bottoms were out, then they came back in. So I think it's somebody in their little apartment somewhere else going, you know what? Let's change the style of jeans.
Yeah.
And they did say that you can still wear them, but I know I have them on. I'm not a huge fan of skinny jeans for guys. Like, I know it's in and I get why they're wearing them, but.
You're not a fan?
No. Not the skinny.
Like the kind that Dave Klein wears.
I hope you don't have them on right now.
I don't even know what skinny jeans for guys are. So if I'm wearing them,
well,
I'm wearing them by
like
mistake.
Like mine, but a man has them on.
Oh, God, no. No.
Ultra skinny.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, anyway. People either gained weight or lost weight during the pandemic. Who would have thunk it, of course. Let's see. The state of Washington has a new vaccination incentive. They're offering a free marijuana joint to those.
Okay, I'm sick of this.
21 years old and
I'm
over.
So sick of this.
Well, it's called the Joints for Jabs program, Dave. How sick are you of it now?
Why? Because
way
you don't
more.
Want people to get something for getting the vaccine?
I'll be honest with you. Oh, this is a terrible thing to say.
Just say it.
I'd almost rather you not than to get vaccinated for a donut or a joint.
What about $1 million?
Here's what I hate. I hate obvious, stupid stuff where people are taking advantage. You know, I just, look, be a grown-up. There's a worldwide pandemic. I believe everyone should be vaccinated. But if you don't want to for religious beliefs or political beliefs or scientific beliefs, okay. But the people who are being swayed by a donut or a joint, it's like, who are you people? That's my little rant.
You are tired of pandering to
yes.
people who aren't taking it
yes.
seriously.
Get the vaccination because you don't want to get sick and make other people sick. Have you heard of Delta? Delta is a new strain that Fauci's talking about.
Oh, yeah, the UK variant, yeah.
That what he is saying is basically, if you're fully vaccinated, you should be fine. But if you're only partially vaccinated, because millions of people only got one when you needed two of Pfizer and Moderna, look, it's worse, it's more contagious, and you're going to get sicker with Delta. And so, look, it's summertime right now.
Yeah,
and
can I just bring up a point that maybe you are looking past? Krispy Kreme did not create that program because they thought this will get people to get vaccinated. It's a marketing ploy.
That's why I'm mad. That's
okay.
what I said. I'm
well,
tired of people
you're gonna
taking
show
advantage.
Up, you're going to show up with the vaccination card, and you're not just going to get one donut. You're going to buy a
That's
dozen.
That's what I'm saying, Rach.
And
yeah.
then this is like pot shops in Washington can
it.
Apply for these licenses, and then people are going to spend $100.
That's
while
what
there.
I don't like. I don't like people taking advantage.
Gotcha.
But the guy in Ohio who won the $1 million lottery who got the vaccine because of the lottery. Aren't you happy that he's vaccinated?
I'm happy that everyone's vaccinated. I'm not a fan of using public funds. This is just me. I am tired of not getting anything. I don't get anything. No one feels sorry for Dave Glover.
He just went to the Champions Club last night.
No. Yeah, you know why I went to the Champions Club? Because I earned it. I went. I can pay for myself. This isn't about Dave Glover. This is about I'm sick of watching people get stuff. Like, come on. Get off your ass and go work. I'm tired of paying for you. Go get your damn vaccine. You shouldn't need a donut.
Some people just aren't going to do it, and it takes that. But
that's what I'm tired of. Quit spending my tax money on stuff to get people to do stuff that they should be doing already. You should be working because that's what people do. You should get a vaccine because that's what's best. Unless you have an objection. And then do what you want to do. But I'm just tired of the government taking my money and giving it to people who aren't doing the right thing for the right reasons. That's it. I think it's like get tired of it.
I totally get what you're saying. But back to your Delta variant point. The longer this sticks around, the more variants
I get it.
There will be. So if it takes $1 million lotto or a beer or a joint or a donut to get somebody to go do it, I think it's absolutely ridiculous too. But if it gets them there, it gets them there.
All right, let's move on. Let's stop arguing about the vet. We've just got three vaccinated people arguing about a vaccine. We all did the right thing and we did it for free. Man, Harrison Ford has been pictured in an Indiana Jones costume on the set of the 5th Indiana Jones movie. Guys, I love Harrison Ford, but the man should not be an action star at this point in time. The man is like crashing helicopters because he's too old to fly. Like, no one's buying this. It's like when De Niro did The Irishman and every action scene he can't lift his arm over his head. Like, it's ridiculous.
There's a scene in The Irishman when someone disrespects his daughter and he beats him up. And they've digitized his face, so he looks like 30-year-old De Niro, and he moves like an 80-year-old man.
Yes, he can't lift
his
arms.
That's my daughter. That's my daughter. And it's like, it's a ridiculous scene.
Yeah.
Because he looks ridiculous kicking this man when he obviously can't move his knees.
I just feel like it might be time to hang up the fedora.
He's 78, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Harrison, you know I'm a huge fan, but let's move on.
Yeah,
let's
like
make a
him,
new movie.
Arnold, Sly Stallone. You're not action heroes anymore.
It's getting harder and harder to buy it. Let's do one more story here before we go to break. Starbucks is bringing back their reusable cup service nationwide. This will be reintroduced through a completely contactless method. So all during the pandemic, they only gave out disposable cups. And then they came up with this new method where you could rent a cup and you pay a dollar deposit. You can bring it back. They'll have it professionally cleaned. You get a new one. No one really reacted that well to that. But the reusable cup service is great for people like me who feel bad every time they get a plastic cup that's going to end up in the recycle bin. But who knows? It might actually end up in a landfill. So anytime something is going back to normal like this, I think it is a cause to
celebrate. Your girl Khloe Kardashian got dragged.
Yeah, so Khloe Kardashian said something about like reusable cups or something. She was complaining about how it's bad for the environment, and then everyone jumped on her and said, well, what about the fact that you fly around in private jets and your family uses up all of this waste with your PR packages and you always have all these balloons and flowers everywhere for birthday parties and stuff? I mean, I think they're making a point.
Yeah.
But that being said, some people just aren't that educated when it comes to waste and recycling and being green. And she seems like one of them. She came out and said, like, yeah, I don't really know what I'm talking about. The plastic stuff just bothers me. So I'm like, if this teaches Khloe a lesson, hopefully she stops hopping on that jet so often. But yeah.
By the way, before I do my live, we have Jeffrey Boyd, our buddy from the 22nd, coming up to talk about other shootings in St. Louis. Kevin Wheeler, and then 5 p.m. is the Priest and the Rabbi with Monsignor Ted and Rabbi Shmuel. So not to put too fine a point on it, say I'm the only man, I love these guys. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Jeez, Exorcist was already scary, and I kind of remembered this. I think it came out in 76, 77. So I would have been like a young teen. But I remember there being lines out the door to see The Exorcist, and people were fainting, and Catholics were there, like, praying, and don't go in, and all this stuff.
Really?
You've never seen it, right, Rach?
I will never see it.
Good for you. Have you seen it?
Yeah, but a long time ago.
So remember the horrifying part where Reagan is at the hospital, and they're doing all the tests, and she's squirting blood and stuff, and there's a doctor, and then he has a male assistant. That male assistant had already killed 6 men, like in real life.
Oh, in real life.
He was later caught, convicted of killing like a dozen guys.
Oh, I got to go back and watch that. So when he filmed that, he had already
killed 6 of them.
Wow.
That's crazy.
How weird is that?
Ooh.
It's not good. I'll tell you that.
Also, I'm kind of a Civil War buff. When I first met Maureen, we were at the mall, and there is a Civil War thing, and I go, I'm a bit of a Civil War buff.
I could have been a general.
And she, but she heard Civil War reenactor.
Okay, real quick. Union or Confederacy?
Shut up. I hate, God, why did I ever think this is a good idea? More Americans died in the Civil War than any other war we've ever fought.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
625,000. Which was 2% of the population.
So she thought that you were reenacting the Civil War. No, this is a funny story.
Yes,
tell us.
She thought I was dressing up like General Burnside and going out with a bunch of dorks and bang,
so
bang.
So she didn't return your calls for a few weeks?
She was like, what am I getting into here?
So more people died in that war than all the other wars combined? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. No.
I'm just trying to make sure I have it right.
Dave's leaving. Let's do our Bravo segment.
Because I knew a lot of people died in the Civil War, but...
Yeah, I don't think it was more than all of them combined.
Is it too late to go back to 97.1? Can we get Reardon over here? No, just I'm done with this.
Just in that war in general.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see where this goes. you could fit every single planet between the Earth and the Moon and still have 5,000 miles to spare.
Whoa.
I'm trying to just figure that
She's
one out.
She's trying to think.
My brain
You
hurts.
Could fit every war between here.
They're like, you could fit every planet in the universe?
And the stars?
I don't want to say anything stupid.
Well, you should probably turn your mic off. 25% of hazelnuts in the world are used to make what?
Coffee.
Nutella.
I saw
Nutella.
It.
Nutella.
I redeemed myself.
Yes, you're a genius. This is kind of sad. Salma Hayek said that she was sexually harassed by Harvey Weinstein and that she has horrible guilt because afterwards he harassed and raped dozens of women.
I get that.
She shouldn't have guilt, though, because the odds of them actually doing something about it would have been very low, and it probably would have just completely stunted her career. I'm not saying, like, it's good that she didn't tell, but I don't think her telling would have made any sort of a difference other than it would have ruined her life. We just weren't ready to hear it. People knew about Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, right.
Everybody,
that's a good point.
All the powerful people knew, and they didn't do anything. Society just reached a point where we were all collectively done with that kind of behavior.
You're right.
And that's the only reason that he's being held accountable now.
Speaking of, Chris Harrison officially done with The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I know both of you are fans. Do you think that he is in the Aziz Ansari camp of, I'm not sure this guy really deserved that?
I can take it if you want,
Trish.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I feel like Chris Harrison got fired because he was trying to protect the Bachelor franchise. I think he went on TV and defended this Rachel Kirkconnell chick because he knew that she won the season and he was trying to do damage control for the company. And so he was kind of a little bit of a scapegoat. He didn't say anything that was actually like racist or racially insensitive. He just wasn't falling in line with the narrative that was going. Exactly. People reacted poorly and ABC completely threw him under the bus. Like, that's how I feel.
He now, they said today, is getting like $25 million because he can like reveal a lot of the secrets that producers do behind the scenes.
That's the thing. Like, that's,
so he's getting such a huge payout for there's something going on behind the scenes. I totally agree.
And I think ABC knows like what he was doing. He knew she was the winner. They know the winner before the season even airs. And he was there.
Yeah.
And he knew that Matt James, this bachelor, was going to pick this white woman with this past. And he's trying to minimize the damage. And look at what happened. Matt James is back with this girl. So the actual racist in the situation gets to be with the man from The Bachelor and faces no real consequences other than she was publicly humiliated and she probably should have been. But she just gets to carry on with her life. But Chris Harrison, since he was trying to protect the franchise, is out of a job, which, yeah. I mean, the guy has millions. He's going to be fine. It's just one of those things where I feel like if everyone actually put the pieces together, there's no way he would have been fired.
Yeah.
But we just don't look into things that deeply.
Sure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.